three. Whips it to Gordon. And he knocks it down. Island pulls a three. Murray for three. Murray shakes loose. Great ball fake. Naji inside with the slam. Another offensive opportunity. Bones. And here comes Highland with a lot of energy into the front court. Bones pulls. Loose ball. Joker didn't even corral. Bones, another three. Butter. Here's Bones. Off the staggered screens. Murray. Tough pull-up. Oh, man. And on the run out at the other end, Joker with an easy deuce. Porter Jr. Blow by and a bang. Murray got Lee on his hip. A long two is pure. Highland with the hezzy. Got it to call.
There you go. Denver gets the dub last night over the Phoenix Suns. I told you they'd cover that. I told you, Angel. Phoenix had nobody. There was nobody. I mean, Joker, dude, get this. Joker has 39 near misses as far as triple doubles are concerned in his career. 39 of them. A lot of those are coming from, you know, in games where he doesn't even play the fourth quarter. Hard to complete a lot of those triple doubles when you're not playing in the fourth quarter. And didn't need him last night. Bench unit took care of business in the fourth.
My City, baby.
Bones Highland, man. Nice night for him. 21 points, 4 assists, only one turnover for him. Played 24 minutes. Couple things come to my mind here. Is Zeke Nagy the backup center now? I mean, he played 20 minutes last night. You're not seeing DeAndre Jordan, who plays his role, though. Did you see, he went up and gave Chanchar a big bear hug when he came out. And like that kind of guy is a leader. But Zeke Nagy is starting to get some nice minutes, some nice production with 15 points last night. This is a complete basketball team, folks. A little bit of a scare last night in the third. You and I have talked about this a lot, how they're staggering, how Malone is staggering Jamal Murray in his minutes. Obviously, as a starter, but he plays a lot of minutes now with the bench unit. And I love it, but third quarter game is pretty much out of hand. Or was it start of the fourth? And Jamal's in there. Twists that ankle a little bit. So we're actually going to have Katie Wingy on in about 5 minutes from Altitude TV. That's the first question I have, is how is Jamal Murray? Is that a concern? He looked at Malone before he went out because he went off into the locker room. He looked at Malone and said, I'm good. I'm okay. So fingers crossed, because that's the only thing right now that can derail this team, is a core player getting hurt. So we'll talk about Jamal Murray. KCP is like the leading three-point as far as percentages go. Now, he's not shooting a lot all the time, but he was 4-5 last night, 15 points. So you have KCP, who's efficient when it comes to the threes. Jamal Murray looked so confident last night in his 25 minutes of play. Joker, 28 minutes. He had 21 points and 18 rebounds. One assist away. You couldn't put him in for just every play down, just give him the ball so he can throw to somebody. Because, you know, in the NBA, assists are sometimes you can pass the guy a ball and he can dribble two times and he'll take a shot. And it'll count as an assist. So come on, give him that one. But whatever, he continues to roll through this. Michael Porter Jr. was fine. Gordon looked a little shaky at the end. They were looking at his shoulder again, but he had 12 points. 126-97. And the Nuggets are blowing teams out that they're supposed to blow out. Teams that are depleted, whatever, don't take them lightly. Phoenix beat Golden State before that. So Denver, they're just at this really unique spot right now, 28-13. And we've talked about it, like the next 7 or 8 games, they should all be favored to win in these things. So very great basketball for the Denver Nuggets. Which leads me to my poll question. I talked about this yesterday, but I want to get the Hooligans, like, the vote on this today. What is the biggest storyline in Colorado, in your mind, Hooligans? I mean, I want your opinion on this. Is it the Denver Nuggets and maybe their quest to win their first title ever? Is it the Colorado Avalanche? Can they get right and repeat? They got a lot of work to do. making up for those injuries, but that's a big one. Can Joker get his third MVP, which has only happened three times? What's another one? Primetime for the Buffs. Apparently, he wasn't supposed to say anything about the Arizona State thing on the national championship game, and that might be why. Mark Johnson didn't tell us that yesterday, but doing some investigative work, he wasn't supposed to talk about it. So I don't know if college football is just like, yeah, since you weren't supposed to do that, so now it's just not going to happen. So no 0 week, at least for now.
Why?
I don't know. It's college football, Angel.
It doesn't make sense.
Name one thing that makes sense in college football. TCU going to the national title game?
No. Far from it.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. What does make sense when it comes to college football? So that's still a big story, though. They got a guy from Kentucky and a running back from Kentucky. His last name's like Smokey or something like that. Smoke? They're just getting guys from all over the place. Coach Prime. I heard Coach Bruce Dick on Clark and the Coach say he's not going to call him Coach Prime. He's going to call him Coach Sanders. Well, that's not what he wants. He wants to be called Coach Prime. And why not? Obviously, I missed the big one, the Broncos head coaching search. So I wanted to get the Hooligans feedback on this one today. Because these are all big stories. That's it, right? Am I missing anything? Is there any other big storylines that are taking over the state of Colorado?
The Rockies haven't done anything.
No. I mean, is that big news anymore? I'm so unplugged from the Rockies at this stage. Just right around the corner. Hooligans are saying it's the next coach. Then it's can the Nuggets win their first NBA championship? Then it's Joker winning his third MVP in a row, ? Then it's the Avs. Then it's primetime in the Buffs. No, that seems about right. We'll see what you guys think throughout the day today. We'll talk about those storylines. Let's take a quick break, though. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV coming up next. We'll talk all things Denver Nuggets. How's Jamal Murray looking? All that and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Denver Nuggets just keep rolling. They rolled to a big victory last night over the Phoenix Suns. Joining me now to talk about that one and kind of the overall picture of this Nuggets team, Katie Wingy, reporter, host, and analyst for Altitude TV. Katie, first off, okay, is Jamal Murray okay? Because I had a slight heart attack seeing him roll his ankle a little bit there last night.
You were not alone in having the slight heart attack. It feels like everybody in the building collectively held their breath. I'm sure everybody at home watching collectively held their breath when that happened. Coach Malone talked about it after the game last night. He said he thinks he just rolled his ankle and he should be good to go for the Nuggets next game. So nothing to be too concerned about there. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, for those that have sprained ankles or rolled ankles before, sometimes those take a while to heal and feel normal again. So I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe was taking it easy and getting treatment on it, but I would definitely not be worried too much about what's going on there.
Okay, good. I saw your tweet, but I wanted our listeners to hear that from you, that it's hopefully nothing too major to worry about with Jamal Murray at this point, because when you look at this team, 28-13, they just keep rolling. I mean, their only loss recently was that back-to-back against the Timberwolves, and that was after like a 9 million minute delay when they were fixing the rim. So that, other than that, the Nuggets have been cooking. So the only thing that I think could derail this team is some kind of major injury.
Yeah, and let's hope that doesn't happen, right? Like, that's something that for the first time in a while, the Nuggets do have a pretty clean bed of health, and something that's out of your control. You go out there, you play hard, you hope that nobody gets injured. But for the most part, I mean, for the Nuggets right now, it's more about consistency than anything else. They've figured out the recipe for success. They've improved their defense. Their offense is the best in the entire NBA. So if they can keep making shots around Nikola Jokic and they can keep defending and putting the right effort and focus and discipline on the defensive side of the ball, I think they'll be in a pretty good spot here coming up.
Well, like you said, offensively and defensively, I love those games where they score 120 and keep an opponent under 100. That's what they did last night against Phoenix. And Katie, you've been covering this team for a while. When you look at the makeup of this group right now, we're halfway through the season, but talk about a complete basketball team. I mean, obviously, your MVP continues to do great things on a nightly basis. Every game, it seems like Jamal Murray's confidence level's up there. The depth, the bench unit starting to come into their own. I mean, where do you stack this roster up against, compared to the last 5-10 years looking at this Nuggets team?
Yeah, you got to give Calvin Booth a lot of credit for coming in, and even Tim Connelly quite a bit of credit, too, for kind of building the foundation that we see with this Nuggets team right now. I think the pieces that Booth put together this offseason have been so instrumental and such great fits, and Coach Malone talked about this before the game against the Suns a little bit. There were 8 new pieces on this Denver Nuggets team. It was one of those rare seasons coming into it that there wasn't a whole lot of continuity. Obviously, your core is the same, but the pieces around that core were a little bit different, and they knew they wanted to get better defensively. They knew they wanted to insert some shooters around Nikola Jokic, and they've done that, and those players have lived up to the hype. KCP, Bruce Brown, both have been so good in what they've been able to bring to this Nuggets team, and then you see kind of some of the other players as well. They're growth has been really good. I mean, Bones Highland is playing really well off the bench, and then you mix in Jamal Murray with that second unit, and the bench has figured something out. You know, that was kind of a point of contention earlier this season. So it's like everybody's growing together. The culture is really, really good in the locker room right now. Obviously, it's easy to say that when they're winning, but I think it's also just a really close-knit group, even when they're going through adversity, too.
Katie Wingy joining us from Altitude TV, and I love that you brought up Jamal Murray and kind of his minutes, the way Coach Malone's staggering his minutes with the starters, with the bench, too. I love that move, too, for several reasons. Obviously, it raises the boats with the bench unit out there with Jamal running the show, but it's one of those things where you're seeing the confidence build up for Jamal. Is that something that's helping him more and more, when not only when he's playing with the Joker and company, but when you see him out there with that bench unit where he knows, okay, I have to be the guy while I'm out here and really facilitate? How much has that helped him out personally?
Well, I think one of the great things about Jamal is he's never really going to force the issue. He's somebody that's going to play within the flow of the game. I think he recognizes he needs to be a little bit more aggressive with the bench unit, but you look at the guards that are playing in that second unit: Jamal Murray, Bones Highland, Bruce Brown. Any of those three can handle the basketball. Any of those three can play off the ball. And so that's why you're seeing, Bones Highland was 5 of 5 from 3 in the first half last night. And a lot of that is he can spot up in transition. He doesn't necessarily have to worry about setting up the offense. So in regards to Jamal's confidence, I think more than anything, more than where he's playing, more than the minutes that he's getting and how he's being used, he's just getting more experience under his belt post-ACL rehab, and so post-ACL surgery. And so I think at this point in the season, he's feeling really good. He's playing much more efficiently, and he's found his rhythm within the Nuggets offense, whether that's with that second unit or with the starters.
It's crazy just looking. I mean, there's so many special guys on this roster that just keep getting better. I mean, you mentioned Bones Highland. Nice night for him with 21 points. And when he gets going, the crowd gets going. It's such a fun environment. You can speak on that certainly more than me. But when you go down the list of guys on this roster, it just feels like, I know we're halfway through, but man, it's just every single guy on there has their role with this team, and so far, for the most part of the season, they've been fulfilling what they're supposed to do, and I think that's what's huge, and that's great for Michael Malone too, getting all of these guys playing to where they're supposed to be within this roster.
There's a selfless mentality in that locker room, and I think that sometimes is more rare than people think in the NBA, and guys willing to do their job, even if that means they're not getting plays drawn up for them, even if that means they're not getting as many shots as they would like to be getting. This team really doesn't care about that, and the way that they play, everybody's going to get their shots. You play around a guy like Nikola Jokic, who doesn't care how many shots he takes, and he would rather pass than score. And everybody just kind of takes on that mentality. And that's where this chemistry that the Denver Nuggets team has formed from. And the fact, like you said, the roles that these guys have kind of taken on, the way that they have discovered those roles, the way that they have executed those roles. That's something that, again, it goes back to consistency. Can they do that on a consistent basis? Can they do that when things get really tough? Because inevitably so, the NBA is a really hard league to win games in. And so you're going to, they're cooking right now. They're feeling really good. Things are going their way. But when they do hit a bump in the road, are they still able to execute? Are they still able to fulfill their roles? Are they still able to do things the right way and have this close camaraderie that they have? That's kind of what I think those of us that are close to the team and those of us that cover the team are looking at right now. It's like, okay, everything's going really well right now, but what happens when some adversity hits? What happens when you go on a little bit of a losing skid? How do you get back on track and how do you bounce back from that?
When you look at Nikola Jokic, and obviously, I mean, he's on his way right now. He's looking at that third MVP title, three in a row for him. We'll see. Luka's putting up some crazy numbers too. But how much of that selflessness that you look at with the team is because of Joker? When they look at him play, they know his mentality where he doesn't care if he scores 10 points, 20 points, whatever. He literally means it when he says, I'll just do whatever it takes that night to win a basketball game. How much of that kind of spills over to the rest of this team?
I think quite a bit. And I think what the team realizes is that Joker's not going to be just one of those isolation guys. He's going to be somebody that makes the right play every single time down the floor. So if that's hitting, you know, a teammate that's cutting to the basket, if that's hitting a teammate that's spotting up on the three-point line because he's drawn a double team, he's going to do that. And so everybody knows that they're going to be able to eat in this Denver Nuggets offense. Everybody's going to get theirs. And so I think as you're watching this offense dominate the NBA, it takes a very special player to fit in. And again, credit the front office for finding those pieces and for finding those types of players who don't need to dribble the air out of the basketball, that don't need to try and find a way to create their own shot and get theirs. This team is so 0.5 second hold the basketball mentality, that Greg Popovich mentality where you have to make a decision right away as soon as you catch the ball. Are you dribbling? Are you passing? Are you shooting? And everybody's moving off the ball within that as well. So the offense has been so fun to watch. You never know what they're going to do. I mean, night in and night out, you have players that are getting, you know, new career highs in assists, new career highs in, or new season highs in points. And Nikola Jokic just keeps putting up ridiculous stat lines because he's the center of all of it.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. Another near miss. I think you guys mentioned it on the broadcast about the Joker. What is it, 39 near misses or whatever you call it as far as triple doubles go? That's insane to me.
Yeah, we call them Sambor doubles, and he had a ridiculous amount of them. He also had a Sambor double for the third time in his career without playing in the fourth quarter.
It's amazing.
So he did what he did last night in just 28 minutes of action, which is just absolutely ridiculous. But he's so efficient, a perfect picture of efficiency. I'm sure Nuggets fans feel the same way. Coach Malone talks about this, but we can't take a second that this guy is on the floor in a Denver Nuggets uniform for granted, because what he does is so, so special.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I said this a couple years ago. I just wonder if he keeps going down this path, if we're going to talk about Joker the way we talk about John Elway, that maybe, because, I mean, he's already had two MVPs. You add a title to that, maybe another MVP. You got to start thinking that he becomes the GOAT as far as Denver sports go. And I know that John Elway, that's hard to say that, but what he does on a nightly basis, and it just seems like it gets a little bit better every single season, that maybe the Joker does become the GOAT of all things Colorado sports.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say right now just because there are he needs a championship in order to be considered that. It also is really hard for me to compare Nuggets to Broncos.
Right.
I think predicting, you know, 20 years into the future, if the Nuggets are able to secure an NBA championship with Nikola, the other thing too is, like, just personality wise, Nikola Jokic doesn't carry himself with like a typical GOAT personality. And I think that's why fans love him so much. It's also why the NBA struggles to reward him in the way that I think we all think he deserves to be rewarded, whether that is a third straight MVP or just getting national recognition in the way that he deserves. He just wants to go in and handle his business and be a good person and treat people well and play the game of basketball the right way. Okay. And it's so rare. It's so rare to get that.
I go back to, what, media days at the beginning of the season. I ran down there to Denver, and I was just so impressed by, not impressed, but it's like, okay, here's media days. The guys are going to sit down and answer questions. Joker gets up from his chair, walks over to the little buffet area, and just starts grabbing some grapes. He's like, I'm hungry. Like, that kind of stuff to me is so unique because he's this superstar, and you just expect him to sit there and, you know, do superstar things, answer questions the way LeBron does, answer questions the way some of these other studs do. But instead, Joker just gets up in the middle, walks over, grabs some grapes. I mean, that just kind of describes how, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously, I guess.
Yeah, he's really just like a normal person, which, I mean, of course, all athletes are humans before they're players, but he does not put himself on any sort of pedestal. He says hello to anybody that says hello to them. He treats people really well. His family is always at games, his brothers, his wife, his daughter. And he handles his business and handles himself like a professional, above and beyond so many players in the NBA, right? Like, he does a full workout after every single game, whether he played 28 minutes or whether he played 48 minutes. Like, he has his routine, he's figured it out, and now it's just about, you know, showing up and doing that night in and night out. But in terms of his personality, I just don't think you get a more humble, relatable superstar than Nikola Jokic is.
Katie Wingy joining us from Altitude TV. And you talked about Calvin Booth, and I continue to be so impressed because you're right. Tim Connelly laid this foundation and kept building this up. You know, I look at some of the moves over the past 5-6 years, even some of the bad moves, I felt like Connelly was quick to say, okay, maybe the Moutier thing, maybe the Yusuf Nurkic thing, those aren't going to work out. Oh, here's Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Look what they're going to do. So I was kind of worried about what that would look like when Connelly goes, but you just mentioned with Calvin Booth and just some of the moves he's made already, looking at his, you know, the draft situation, Christian Brown, I'm excited to see what he does in his career, but KCP, the Bruce Brown pickup, I mean, these are big-time moves that could go down to, you know, if the Nuggets go on to win a championship this year, those two guys are certainly going to be heavily involved in that. Those two moves right there could go down as some of the biggest moves in Nuggets history.
Yeah, they were difference-making moves, for sure. And the Nuggets knew, essentially, the mold of the players that they wanted to go and acquire. And I, for the life of me, can still... I can't figure out why Bruce Brown was available in free agency the way that he was, because I can't imagine a better fit with this Nuggets team, both personality-wise and on the court-wise. And what, I mean, Brown has been able to do. And just a gem of a person. I mean, the Nuggets have done such a great job of finding personalities that fit within their culture and fit in their locker room. No egos, you know, no crazy selfish mentality. Is very much just like fun guys, and all of them get along. Like, this is very, it's a college locker room atmosphere. They all hang out off the court. And so you talk about those moves. I mean, none of those moves mixed up anything or ruffled any feathers within the Nuggets locker room. They all made the locker room better, a better place to be around. And I think that's a really hard thing to do when you're looking at not just your basketball skills, but your people skills, your personality. It goes so much deeper than just what is this player going to bring on the floor for this team. So they found the right pieces in that regard, but they also found personalities that seamlessly fit with what they were already building within this Nuggets culture.
And the you know, just seeing the bench get so excited. DeAndre Jordan didn't play last night, but he's like hugging up on everybody. He's cheering. The crowd's going they're going crazy when they see like a Jack White out there get 5 points, a little tip in, and a three-pointer. I mean, they're going nuts for this guy. Katie, when you look at other teams, because you're seeing all these teams on a nightly basis, how do the Nuggets bench compare, like as far as how they're cheering their team on to the rest of the league?
Well, I think most teams have a pretty excited bench, and guys recognize that if they're not playing, they're going to be, you know, vocal contributors, energy contributors, that sort of thing. And you want to root for your teammates, right? I mean, and this Nuggets team has been so successful as of late that it's a lot more fun when you're winning. That's always the case. But I will say, in regards to DeAndre Jordan in particular, he has been such an instrumental leader for this team. Him and Jeff Green and the veteran presence that they bring, the positivity that they bring every single day, whether they're playing, whether they're hurt, whether they're healthy, whether they're on the bench, like, they have contributed in such a massive way to some of these young players and just to the mentality and the vibes that are around this team. I can't imagine two better veterans that have impacted the Nuggets team that could have the impact that those two have had.
No question. No, it's awesome to see. You've said it. They just kind of have a little bit of everything here. Is Zeke Nagy like the backup center now? Like, what's the process there? What's the situation looking like there?
Well, I think you've seen a lot of improvement with the second unit with some of the changes that Coach Malone has made, right? So he's a big guy, as we kind of all are, in terms of, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So now that they've kind of solved that bench unit problem, I think he's going to stick with the rotation that he's had for the foreseeable future. With Zeke, you just get such great switching versatility. He can guard guards for a pretty good amount of time. He can keep them in front. He can make them work to get inside. But this is going to be something that might change a little bit as the season progresses. If a team that the Nuggets are playing has a bigger big, a true center, then you might see DeAndre Jordan mixed in there and be more of a rim protector for the Nuggets. But I think in terms of Zeke playing with that second unit, he's earned those minutes, and he's proved with his defensive versatility in particular that he can do something really special for Denver on that end. So Coach Malone's really liked what he's seen. You know, Christian Brown's not in the rotation right now, but I think that's because the Nuggets are healthy and they have so much depth. And like I said, that second unit has been really working with Jamal staggering within it.
I asked you this. We had you on early in the season, I think like game two, and I was like, are they winning it all? Are they going to win a title? I'm going to ask you now. We're at the halfway point. How are you feeling about their championship chances at this stage? And let me ask you, too, Joker's third MVP in a row. How are you feeling about both of those topics?
Well, the championship thing, I'm still going to go the same way. It's very early. I love it there at the top of the West. I love the way they've competed with some of the best teams in the West. For me, it's about consistency and the way that they continue to show up and the way that they battle through some of the adversity that they face. The West is so tough. I mean, even like Boston is playing so, so well at such a high level right now. So I love the odds. I mean, I think they'll be – I would love to see them in the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, I would love to see an NBA championship in the way that they're playing. It's going to be really, really tough to defend and stop them, especially offensively. In terms of Joker's third MVP – it's going to take everything for the league to give him that, I think. Like, he could have the most he could average a triple-double and, you know, be – if this is the case, if he's averaging near triple-double like he is right now, I think he's averaging, like, 9.7 assists or 9 assists along with double-digit points and rebounds. The Nuggets stay in the number one spot in the West. It's going to be really tough to not give it to him. And I guess I've always been in favor when it comes to MVP of looking at teams and saying – okay, if I were to remove that player from the team, how valuable truly is that player? What would the team look like? And I think that also adds to the Luka Doncic argument as well. I think that adds to the Jason Tatum argument as well. Boston is really good and really well-rounded, so I think it's more in Luka's favor to think like that because the Mavericks roster is just not great around Doncic. And they're making a very strong push for him to be that MVP. So we'll see. It's going to take a near-perfect performance for the rest of the season from Nikola Jokic in order to get that third.
Well, Katie, it's exciting either way. I mean, our poll question today is, like, what's the best storyline in the state right now? And obviously the Broncos coaching search is up there, but it's hard to deny the Nuggets and everything that goes along with it, whether you are talking about them being at the top of the West or Joker's quest to get that third MVP. The fact that we're so deep into that conversation at the halfway point, I'm actually shocked by it. I thought with Jamal coming back, MPJ, Gordon playing better, that maybe Joker's numbers would falter a little bit, but for the most part, like you just said, he's right there with Luka. It seems like it's those two and everybody else. So, Katie, it is a very exciting time. You guys at Altitude do a wonderful job covering this team night in, night out. And I even loved what you guys did when they were working on the baskets the other night. 30 minutes. You guys had to fill some time there.
Yeah, I was... Hopefully we don't have any more basket issues. Let's just say that.
Oh, they finally were like, you know, I love the level. You guys were like zooming in on that level and everything. And the guys, I mean, that was, talk about pressure. The crowd, at some point, they start kind of, you know, a couple minutes go by and it's like, are we going to get this thing fixed here? I wouldn't know what to do there. I would be in trouble.
I mean, we all were wondering if they were going to get it fixed. Thankfully, they did. We're just giving the people what they want in terms of checking out that level and seeing what's going on.
I thought it was great. Well, somebody asked me the other day, is it because Aaron Gordon's dunking it too hard? Is he breaking the rims there at Ball Arena?
It's the opponent's dunking too hard. It's always the opponent's baskets, I tell you.
Katie, great job as always. I love what you guys do. Love following you you on Altitude, of course, and this Nuggets team. And so far, so good. It's been a fantastic season. We're looking forward to see what the second half brings.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Katie Wingy, Altitude TV. A lot to unpack from Katie there, and we'll do that on the other side. Just kind of some of her thoughts. She's not going all in on the championship thing just yet. She's like, we're halfway through, and there probably will be some bumps in the road, Angel. But man, today as we sit here on the 12th day of January, it's hard to foresee any major bumps in the road coming up with this team because they just have everything going right. So we'll talk about Katie's interview coming up on the other side. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Started up a new Nuggets podcast, A Pickaxe to Grind. I do it every Tuesday, and it's up right now at 1310kfk.com. Kind of a full in-depth look as the season progresses. I'll be talking about the games, you know, the storylines with the players, and some other stuff too. Some other Nuggets, Angel, as you if you will. Because I've been a big Nuggets guy my whole life. I have followed this team back in the tough times, back when the Dan Issels, Bill Hanslicks. Why am I forgetting Bezdelic, the Bezdelic days, the head coaches there? I've followed this team for a long time, man. I've been a big fan of the Nuggets, even when they were like 16 wins. And since I've been alive, this is the most special stretch of years that I've ever witnessed with the Denver Nuggets. And obviously, it's you have Joker in the mix. I mean, the Melo years were great, but they didn't feel like this. Did not feel like this. And right now, it does seem like Denver has a really good shot to win this whole thing. Halfway through, with that, we're officially at the halfway mark, and the Nuggets are number one in the West.
Yeah, it's just crazy how we've, you know, it feels like early in November, we weren't really sure what this team was going to look like. You know, they had a bunch of road games at that point. MPJ was, I think he was almost out, or it was out at that point. Weren't sure where he was. But since he's come back, this team has been clicking on every aspect. Their last 12 games, they're like top 10 in defense right now. So they're getting better. And every game I'm watching this team, they're getting better. The flow of the offense is just, it's almost unguardable when everyone is moving, when Jokic is finding the right passes or making his own creative pass. He had like four or five crazy passes last night. His presence around the paint is just unguardable. You got your shooters. You've got the defense has stepped up a lot, and Malone's figured out his rotations.
No doubt, you know, and you caught this one, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. You brought it up, hey, Jamal Murray, the staggering there of him playing with the bench unit. I absolutely love it because, you know, they're pulling him out a little bit earlier with the starting unit, but then placing him in with the second unit a little, just depending on the game and the situation. But his confidence level has just gone, just the way he's handling the ball. So with him doing that, I mean, that's one aspect of what we're seeing and why this is working so well for Denver.
I think it's letting him settle in a lot better. He's not, okay, you're going to start for the first 20 or first 10 minutes, go all out for 10 minutes. I don't think he's doing that. It's settle in for first 5-6 minutes, get a couple shots up, see the ball go in the net. We're going to take you off. And when you come back on, you're already in the game. You're ready to go. And I've noticed he looks so much more focused when he's playing out there now. He's just laser focused, locked in, driving to the basket. He's getting that little step back jumper back a little bit. His fadeaway jumper's coming back. I think Jamal might be finding his consistency.
So now, okay, I'm going to ask it every week. Who's the second best player on this team? Every week, we're going to do it.
Right now, I think it's Jamal.
Felt like it last night. B-Rad says we should restart the Nuggets tickets giveaway. Well, here's the deal. My contacts left, and I haven't been able to get back in, but they're selling out. I mean, last night was a sellout. Wednesday night?
They sold out Monday night, too.
But even when, like Monday, I don't know why, but Wednesday's like, it's the middle of the week. I don't want to do that. It's just Monday's weird, but people have a case of the Mondays, right? So they're like, oh, you know what would cure that? Make me look forward to a Monday? Go out and watch the Nuggets game. But Wednesday's like, I'm in the thick of the week. It's crazy. You know what I wish they would do, though, is get more color or coded there? Like you see with some of the big followings, like Golden State, it's like they're going to go all yellow or they're going to go all white. Because you just see random colors in the state. I don't know why it's big to me, but I think that's so intimidating to opposing teams when you look up and you see just everybody's in the same kind of color, kind of t-shirt. That's why, like, when Elway first started, he did the orange out for Sundays. He wanted everybody to wear orange because they reinstalled the orange uniforms. That's one thing that we're missing right now with this fan base.
Well, it's tough. The Nuggets don't have a great selection of colors.
They have, well, yeah.
Outside of the rainbow, you could just pick whatever.
That's true.
That's not really a color. You could wear dark blue, I guess. You could wear white, red maybe,
yeah,
yellow.
We got to, for the playoffs, we got to figure something out.
Although, dude, they did, when I went to the playoffs 2 years ago for the Suns game, they gave out T-shirts. So they had like the whole stadium covered in the T-shirts or towels or something. It'll get going. Home court advantage for this team is different for everybody else. Just because you see it on the opposing teams when it's mid-second quarter and they're gasping for air, that's when this team is dangerous.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a lot of fun to see it. The poll question of the day, what is the biggest storyline in Colorado sports right now? Broncos next head coach? Because that's a big one, certainly. Can the Nuggets win their first title? Will Joker win his third MVP in a row? Can the Avs repeat? And of course, the Avs, with injuries and things, they have fallen off. I do feel like they could come back, and they're probably going to once they get everybody kind of going again, once they get everybody healthy. I feel like they could push up here and make it interesting, get into the playoffs at least, and then make some noise. And then the primetime and the Buffs thing. Those are the biggest storylines right now. I heard yesterday, I was flipping around, and I've been reading a lot too, that it's like, oh, CSU's days are numbered as far as they're going to get blown out by the Buffs from now on. We're going to see 30-point games now because of primetime. And I don't know. The names are there for the Buffs. Like Jay Norvell, I'm a big fan, but he just kind of seems like he wears that gas station shirt, like I'm going to work, the blue-collar type work. That's all good, and I love it. But that's kind of a steady build. I think Ed Lamb might be like that. What primetime blows up. So that's still a big story. Although the Hooligans don't agree. I put five topics up here today. That's the least of your biggest storylines, is primetime and the Buffs. Has it faded a little bit now, and then you're just kind of looking forward to what? I'm sure once we get into August, that's going to ramp up a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think even March, April, when they start getting back for spring practices, they do a spring game. There'll be a lot there. Signing day, of course, in that time of the year. But no, it was a lot of excitement at first. And now it's flattening out a little bit, and then it'll jump back up again. And by the time we get to August, it's going to be full prime time in Boulder.
You're still saying your top story is Nuggets title hopes or Joker MVP hopes?
I'm leaning more towards the title hopes. I think you're just starting to get that sense. If it's going to be a team to win it, you feel more comfortable about the Nuggets right now.
NBA power rankings are out according to ESPN. I'll go over that in the lunch rush today. Also, we're going to have UNC wrestling coach Troy Nickerson on the show. I'm a big fan of Troy. He knows I wrestled in junior high, but I don't know a lot about wrestling. You know, I knew
real
a little
wrestling.
Bit in junior high. Yeah, I know a little bit about WWE, man. Back in the day, anyway. Troy's a great dude. When I'm talking about coaches that get out in the community and do their part, that's one of the guys. And they are good. They're 7-1 right now. They got some big matches coming up. They've got Cal State Bakersfield tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, Cal Poly. What are they, top 24, 23, something like that. So that's going to be a big one. Looking forward to catching up with Troy coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Kevin Lytle will join me. Talk all things Colorado State. They're in trouble. That basketball team, I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to climb out of the hole. We'll find out. But we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. What's the biggest storyline in Colorado sports right now? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes until the top of the hour. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, hooking us up with our game beer of the week. This one's from Prost Brewing. It's a Dunkel. Pick up selections from them or any of your favorite adult beverages. We're getting dangerously close to Friday, so check out our friends at On the Rocks Liquor. Use the drive-thru or stop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. And I do want to congratulate John and Tony. Coming up on January 28th, they're celebrating 12 years of running the show at On the Rocks Liquor. They're going to have door prizes and giveaways all day long. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Yeah, the cool thing is this poll question is like, there's a lot of cool things going on. There's a lot of really interesting storylines in the state. And that's why it's like when you put together four or five topics that are not just drawing in-state interest, but national interest. You don't think nationally, you know, the NHL world is focused on if the Avs can recover and come back and do it again? Nationally looking at Joker, nationally looking at the NBA standings with the power rankings coming out yesterday too. And then, of course, the Broncos head coaching search. It's a big one. They interviewed David Shaw yesterday, former Stanford coach. He was there for 16 years. He just resigned from Stanford in November. Said, I'm not burnt out. I'm not done. It's just 16 years is a long time. He was 96 and 54 from 2011 to 2016, I believe. He took his team to a bowl game. He's had assistant jobs with the Eagles, the Raiders in the NFL. So he's suddenly kind of interesting. 5 years ago, David Shaw was really talked about as far as being a head coach in the NFL. He was sought after, but he did come out in those, you know, 5, 6 years ago, and he said, no, I'm staying in college. I'm staying here at Stanford. I love it here. I want to keep going there. But there were teams really talking him up. Yeah, that's died down since they haven't been, you know, as good over the years. You know, that this year they were terrible. I think they were 1-8. The year before that, 2-7, then 4-2, 3-6. So they haven't been very good in a while, but there was a time from that stint in 2011 to 2017 where David Shaw's name did come up regularly as far as being the next head coach somewhere. And then I was watching this morning a little bit about Adam Schefter talking about Jim Caldwell, saying he thinks teams have just been wrong all these years not hiring Jim Caldwell. That they've been missing, that guy would be a great coach. Now, I don't ever hear Adam Schefter say a guy would be a bad coach. So let me just, like, he's an insider. He gets all the scoops, but he doesn't really bash anybody. He doesn't really necessarily say, like, he wouldn't even say specifically which teams failed by not picking up Jim Caldwell. Well, the Broncos would be one of them because they had a one and done. So they got, they interviewed David Shaw. You know, we got several interviews to go for the Broncos. What is that situation looking like? Might be leaning more and more toward Jim Harbaugh, but we shall see. All right, the Lunch Rush is coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.